And joining us right now on PMP Network, you love her. She was the cute, adorable Erin on The Waltons. And now she's an outspoken representative for many things and has a brand new book. That's right. Hold it up. Here it is. It's called Lessons from Walton's Mountain. What I Learned from Erin Walton from Kensington Publishers. It's a fascinating book about growing up and on set, and also about trying to reinvent yourself and one of the perils that came along with that. And we speak right now with the lovely Mary McDonough, otherwise known as Erin Walton. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well myself. Yeah. This is it's a very interesting book, and it's, if I remember correctly, is it the first book about the Waltons?
I'm the first cast member, the family member of, yeah, of the cast to write a book. Earl Hamner has written other stories, you know, about the show.
Right.
But I'm the first memoir for,
yeah,
the cast.
What took so long for a cast member to write about it?
Well, as I wrote in the book, I think that all of us had decided at one point that if any of us ever got together and wrote a book, that the rest of us would get together and kill them.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, as long as everybody was telling stories and everybody else. But my book is different, and it's all about my experiences and my lessons from the mountain, not anybody else's. And the cast is very supportive. But if I do disappear soon, you know, suspect Walton family first.
Well, I must say that you write only nice things about the cast. It's like there's nothing coming out that's, you know,
It's not a salacious book.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true. The tough times in it are my tough times, and I only throw myself under the bus. So.
Exactly. So when you do that, you would naturally get support from your cast.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Well, I have wonderful. They are like a family to me, and I have wonderful memories of them, and great memories and of the show and wonderful lessons from each cast member and the show itself and behind the scenes antics. So I felt like, well, it was time to share some of those with everyone.
What's it like to grow up before America? You know, when people watch you your every step.
It is. I don't think we realized the impact of what we were doing until we were older. And I still now am always overwhelmed by the impact the show has had on the world and people's special stories about the show. But when we were growing up, we were just kids who were, you know, trying to get school done and work 9 hours a day and, you know, play in this wonderful land of the, you know, that we were working in. So we didn't really realize that too much.
Mm. But so later on, as you grew up, after the show ended, it's an interesting part of the book, because it happens to all child actors. Eventually the show ends, and there you are, looking for work. What was that like?
It was hard. The hardest part about it was that we never knew the show was ending. We thought we were coming back for another season, and we were told by reading it in the newspaper. So after spending half your life dedicated to a network and a show, nobody even called us to tell us. And it was devastating. It was the only thing I knew. So then became my challenges and lessons in finding out, well, who was I and who was Erin and how did that affect my career and being typecast and all kinds of things. And it brought forth certain challenges for me.
So when you started the show, how old were you, and how old were you when you finished?
I was 10 when I started and almost 22 when I finished.
So as an adolescent, you battled depression, you battled insomnia, body image issues, you experimented with drugs, you went the gamut.
I did. I was very, I got very confused at different times growing up. While I had a wonderful time, I was in a situation where I wasn't around my family, I was with the Walton family more, I was going back and forth to school, and I felt this pressure to be perfect, like just to do everything perfect, never make a mistake, and I hid all my fears, and I wasn't a trained actress at the time, so I was sort of thrown into this situation not knowing what I was doing, and every time something new would come up, I had no idea what was going on, and I felt a lot of pressure and stress from it, but I hid it all, and I kept quiet about it, and I would just cry at night. And as the years went on, Erin became the pretty one, which was another pressure, and I just sort of took it all on my own, and and it created body image issues and bad diets and just a roller coaster of up and down with weight and I just made some bad choices along the way. And the book, you know, also talks about my coming out the other side of those bad choices.
The book is very explicit. Talks about everything that you went through, which I think is fascinating, and we just kind of hit the surface of it. But one of the things that that your character was a good girl. She was really nice and sweet, and I guess that there was a time in your life that you rebelled against that whole image.
Oh yeah, I think you know I had two teenagers to rebel against. You know, I had two sets of families, two parents. I rebelled against my own as Mary in my own life, and I also rebelled as Aaron. And it wasn't like I went off and I was, you know, wild. It's just that I just didn't want to be her anymore. I just wanted to be me, and yet I didn't know who I was. And all teenagers go through that. I think the ultimate lesson for me is that at the time, I felt so isolated and alone because I kept all the secrets. And now I've learned, you know, that in my public speaking and the body image workshops that I do around the country, I realized that I wasn't alone. And I just happened to be growing up on television. And if I had shared it and talked about it, then it wouldn't have been, you know, so difficult.
Did you ever share anything of these things you were going through with any of the cast members from the show?
No, not really. I mean, Judy, who plays Mary Ellen, said to me recently, she's like, why didn't you tell me? Because I didn't want to be imperfect. I didn't want to be fired. I felt like if I was ignorant, then they would let me go. Mm. And that all happened because of a particular incident I talk about in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just very scared, and I kind of wrote the book, and I do all of what I do today, coaching and teaching, because I don't want anybody to feel those same fears, and for everybody to know that we actually are not alone. We are all together, and so many people felt exactly the same way that I did. I'm getting letters from a lot of men, actually, who are saying, I felt exactly the same way.
Hmm. You know, what's funny to me is that, you know, I watched the show when I was younger, and now it still plays. It shows in Europe. It's all over the place. So there are probably brand new generations of people being brought up on this thing who expect to see you looking like Aaron.
Yes, they do, but I'm old now.
Well, not really. Older, though.
I'm older. I am older. I guess they do. They do somewhat. But yes, that's a wonderful thing about the show is that with the DVDs and it's on three networks right now, Inspiration, Hallmark, and the Gospel Channel, people are watching the show and people have already shared it with their kids and then those, you know, sharing it with their grandchildren. And I met a little girl the other night who is watching the entire show with her dad because he wishes that there were shows like The Waltons still on today.
Well, see, that's the point, that people are yearning to go back to shows that had a nice morality to it, that had a good lesson in them. And I think that's the reason why that show lasted so long.
Yeah, and while it still touches people's hearts, it also was a really good show. It was well-written. You know, it was about family coming together, uniting against the circumstances, and I think people are going through a lot of the same issues in our country right now, and, you know, realizing that family values are important. And, you know, the book is sort of my homage to the show in that way, and how it affected me that way, too. It affected my life. I have these wonderful family members now. I feel very blessed for it.
So you folks are still close? You talk to everybody all the time?
All the time. I had a book signing a week ago, and everybody came. So almost the entire family was there, which was so loving and supportive.
One of the things I learned in the book that I had no idea about, and we've had Linda Blair on this show many times. She's a wonderful human being.
She is. I love her.
Yeah, I love her too. She's just great, and she still looks amazing too. Tell us a little bit about the role of Reagan. At one point, you were up for it.
I was. They came to California, and they narrowed their search down from hundreds of girls down to six, and I was one of the six. And I had already shot The Homecoming, and it was right before The Waltons, a couple months before. And so I was one of the six girls that they narrowed it down to in L.A. And my mom got the book and read it in one night, but being an Irish Catholic woman, she woke up the next morning. She said, "You're not going on that interview. You're not going on that callback." And the agent said, "Oh, let her go. She's never going to get it. They're going to New York," and that's where they found Blair. But yeah, my mom said, "She's not doing this." But I went on the callback, and of course, I didn't get it, which is all fine.
Well, it turned out to work out well for you and for Linda as well.
Yes. Yeah, she's a great girl, and we were roommates at one point, and there's a stories in the book about that. And, she just does wonderful work with her World Heart Foundation for animals.
Absolutely. She has been the best friend of animals for many, many years. And the pea soup, when she came into Boston, she brought me a pea soup, and she was selling that for, to raise funds, and it was great.
Right.
Yeah, she was signing them at some Halloween thing that they were doing around here. It was kind of cool. I like that kind of stuff. Tell us about some of the legends you worked with. I know you worked with like Edgar Bergen and Patricia Neal, Rosemary Clooney. Tell us about that. What was that like?
It was wonderful. I felt Edgar Bergen. There's a story in the book, as you know, about a wonderful show he did for us kids when we were filming The Homecoming, and I got to meet Charlie McCarthy, and that was exciting. And then Patricia Neal was just graceful and elegant and just so lovely. I just adored her. And Rosemary Clooney taught me some of the greatest lessons about starting to learn to separate Mary from Aaron. And it was the first step for me finding out what my value was away from the show.
That's so interesting.
I'm very blessed to have had their experiences that they shared with me to help me grow.
Yeah, it's interesting that one of the comments about the book was from George Clooney.
Yes.
Yeah.
George Clooney, I knew him before he came to California to be an actor. Met him and Nick and Nina Clooney years and years ago. And then George came out here, and there's some funny stories about us celebrating our 21st birthdays together. And in a few weeks, we are both going to be 50.
And neither of you look it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. For folks out there who said, well, maybe you haven't seen Mary for a while, I caught you on The New Adventures of Old Christine. You were actually had a recurring character on that show, right?
I did. I played Mrs. Willhoyt. Very fun. Very wonderful. I've done a lot of episodic television, Will and Grace, ER, Boston Legal, all kinds of shows over the years.
Now, someone told me that you had some movie coming out. What's going on with that?
I did a movie called Lake Effects, and it's in post-production right now. Jane Seymour, Jeff Fahey, and Scotty Thompson. It's a lovely story about a girl who has to reconcile her issues with her father after he passes. It's a very lovely little film, and lovely little story and everything. So I felt glad to be in that. I still work as an actress with all the other things I do in the mosaic of my life.
One of the things that's prominent in this book, and I want to talk about it, because we have a lot of women who listen to the show and young ladies, and I think it's important that they hear about this. When you got off the show, you were looking for roles, and evidently someone told you that, you know, some of the roles you didn't get, maybe you would have got them if you had a bigger bust. Mm-hmm. Take it from there and tell us what happened.
Well, when the show ended, everybody wanted to go against the image of, you know, the Waltons, and it became the Dallas era, you know, with this large breast and large hair and, you know, lots of makeup, and I kind of didn't fit into that. And someone had suggested, well, you know, you lost that role because they went blonde and booby with that one. And I thought, well, oh dear. And I felt the pressure again, and instead of, you know, making a wise choice, I made a choice that was very bad for me, which was to have silicone gel breast implants, thinking that if I put something in me or I changed myself, it would help me or my career or my self-esteem. And you can't fill the hole inside of your heart with implants or anything else. And I ended up getting very sick, and for 10 years, and had my implants removed, and they were disintegrated and ruptured, and the gelatin had spread throughout my body, and I was eventually, about a year later, diagnosed with lupus. But the farther I get away from having my implants removed, the healthier I get, and my lupus is in remission. So a lot of people will say, oh, you're crazy, there's no science, blah, 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 it's a big scandal, it's a very political issue. But I was a healthy girl. I got them. I got sick. I got them out. I started to get better. But it was a, you know, a long, long process, and it hurt my career, my health, my marriage, my everything. Mm. And now I do body image workshops, body branding, getting comfortable with the skin you're in. So what I call them to share those experiences of how to fill the hole inside yourself without having to change who you are in a negative way. Kind of embracing ourselves, our inner selves as well.
Now, you formed a lupus group in LA, right?
My doctor, Daniel Wallace, who's a very premier lupus doctor, years ago said, okay, I'm starting a fundraising arm and I want you to start it. You're the president. And I said, oh, I can't do that. I don't have time. But doctor's orders, so I did, and I became the founding president of Lupus LA, which is now a very successful fundraising arm. I'm not the president anymore, but I helped launch it, and it does very good work for fundraising and education for lupus awareness.
Hmm. So you're out there on the road, though, talking to people about body image and about feeling good about themselves inside.
Yeah,
my
website, marymcdonough.com, has a bit more about it, and people bring me in, either corporations or nonprofit groups, or to speak and do workshops for women and men and young girls. Sometimes I'll do mother-daughter workshops as well. So it's very rewarding. And if I can help one person not feel the way I did when I was growing up, then it's all worth it.
Now, you have a daughter, Sydney, right?
I do, and I have two stepdaughters.
Okay. Now, how old is Sydney?
Sydney is 18.
And did you, I assume because of the experience you had, you must have been teaching her all along about self-esteem and her body image and all this other stuff.
I have. She is a very strong girl, and she has the no I never did growing up, which I do regret sometimes as when she was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But she has a very wonderful, self-image, but still, we have all of this media that shows girls what they're supposed to look like, and a lot of it is very unrealistic body image stuff. So she's gone through her, and so have my stepdaughters. We all go through it, and it's about how we get through it. I think
we
make choices that damage us or hurt ourselves.
It's interesting now that the girls, and I have a teenage girl myself, a daughter, and it's interesting. The images that they're seeing in the media, and they're all unrealistic. The magazine covers that are all airbrushed, the stars that they're looking at who have all kinds of issues.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder how did we raise a generation with these kind of role models?
I wonder about it too, and it seems to have gotten in some ways even worse. You know, with the actresses are so much thinner and tinier. You know, I used to joke that on the New Adventures of Old Christine, I was a matronly mom. And, you know, and I'm glad to be playing those parts. But it's an unrealistic image that is put onto young girls with so many of these shows and these images. And it's, you can't really live up to that without hurting yourself. I know I couldn't. I was in 17 magazine telling girls, oh, here's how to be pretty. And yet I couldn't achieve that without abusing myself. So I think, you know, for me, my work that I do is about trying to say, okay, so how do we embrace who we are, be the best that we can be, and also, you know, go inside and deal with embracing ourselves and loving ourselves inside as well. So the only thing I could do is I can't change it. All I can do is address it.
Mm. So you see all the cast members. I'm looking back at your two moms in the show, Patricia Neal and Michael Larned. Was it different working with both of them?
It was completely different. The homecoming was its own little world because Edgar Bergen was the grandfather, the father was Andrew Duggan and Patricia Neal. So it was his own special show. And then when we went to series, it was completely different. We were on a back lot. We were together all the time. Michael Learned and Ralph Waite were the parents, and Will Gear was brought in to be the grandpa. So the show had a different look. It had a different feel, you know, and so they were both completely different, but both mothers were really wonderful. And it was, I actually cast them both in my first short film that I did as a filmmaker, and I got to have them both be in it. So I felt really, really honored that they would choose to do that, and I got to work with both my moms.
Now, what was Will Gill like in Ralph Waite? A lot of us never got to know them at all.
So Ralph is funny and wonderful. He was at the book signing last week, and of course he's on NCIS now as Mark Harmon's dad, and he is just great. He is just a full of life and wonderful. And Will Gear, he was very full of life. He was very much like Grandpa, but even more wild in real life. He was a botanist, and I have some wonderful stories in the book about him and funny stories of growing up with him as a kid. And he was just a lover of life. He had all these wonderful things that he used to do. Like, he wanted to meet 10 new people every day and find out and travel and learn about more about the world and do Shakespeare. So growing up with him as a grandpa was pretty amazing.
That's interesting about Ralph Waite. I was just looking at the emails that have been coming in here when I announced I was interviewing you, and one of them mentioned that he was a great dad on your show, and he's even cooler on the NCIS show.
He is very cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, were you close with John Ritter?
Yes, very close with John Ritter. I attribute John Ritter with saving my life, in a way, and I was fortunate enough to tell him that before he passed. We played Reverend Fordwick on our show, and when I was very, very depressed and very sad and not telling anybody, he actually noticed it, and he gave me an idea for me to start to write and journal, and I believe that those journals are what helped me not, you know, go over the edge.
Wow. That was a terrible loss, him going like that.
It was devastating. I still can't even really think about it without getting upset about it. It's one of those things where you can't believe that he's not here anymore.
Mm. And Richard Thomas, another one that you see all the time, I assume.
Oh yeah. I just had dinner with him and his family in New York recently when I was there, and he was so lovely. He really loves the book, and he sent me a most beautiful email. And he was so great to learn from, too, as a kid. And now he's still like a big brother. He's really great.
Well, the book is great, too. It's a lot of fun. And if you're a big Waltons fan, you'll like it. And if you're just a fan of a really good book, an interesting book, you'll like it, too. Mary McDonough's book is called Lessons from the Mountain, What I Learned from Aaron Walton. And you can get more by just going to marymcdonough.com for all the details. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I feel like we just sat down and had a little cup of coffee.
That's what the show's supposed to be like, just sitting in the living room.
Just sitting in the living room, yeah. Chatting away. Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on.
Okay.
Take care.